Peace TV, the solution for humanity.
Subhanallah,
Subhanallah,
Alhamdulillah,
Alhamdulillah,
Subhanallah,
Subhanallah,
Alhamdulillah,
Alhamdulillah,
Wa la ilaha illallah,
Wa la ilaha illallah,
Wallahu Akbar,
Wallahu Akbar,
Subhanallah,
Subhanallah,
Alhamdulillah.
Prophet Muhammad SAW, because he was the last of the prophets of Allah to come, he gave descriptions of Dajjal which were so precise, it is as if we could see him before us, because there was none to come after him. So he had to leave us with a clarity which none of the prophets before were required to do, or if they did, their messages became so garbled after their times that we can't find this kind of clarity in any of the existing scriptures. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ used to refer to him as Al-A'war, one who is blind in one eye. And he described in more detail that his right eye will be like a floating grape, shaking in his head, not in a fixed position. That will be his blind eye. His left eye will also be defective. It will have a thick film, opaque, like that of a fingernail, and it will be green in color, like green glass, and it will be bulging. This is how the Prophet ﷺ described the left eye, the eye which could see, of Dajjal. He further went on to describe his complexion, saying that he would be ruddy white, like the people of the north, the UK, Finland. Very white, so much so that their skin has a red tinge to it. And his forehead will be prominent, protruding, and his neck wide. He will be short and stout, be young and very powerfully built, and his back will be slightly hunched. And when he walks, his feet would be set apart, not walking feet together, unusually far apart. And his hair will be curly locks, which look from a distance almost like snakes coiled on each other in his head. Big locks, something like Sai Baba in Tamil Nadu, but bigger locks. He will also be sterile. He will not have any children. According to the Prophet ﷺ, he most resembles a particular individual by the name of Abdul Uzza ibn Qatan. Abdul Uzza ibn Qatan, from the Mustalaq clan of the Khuza'a tribe, who had died in pre-Islamic times. And this statement of the Prophet ﷺ is clear proof that Dajjal is a man, not a symbol for Western civilization or the television, as some people have claimed. Muhammad Abdu of Egypt claimed that Dajjal was symbolic of superstition and deception and abominations. But such claims are inaccurate and incorrect. He is a man. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ went on to say that disbelief will be written between his two eyes, which will be recognizable by both literate and illiterate believers. The letter kafir will be written there. Kafir, disbeliever. The fact that only Muslims and the believers will be able to recognize it, this doesn't mean that it is symbolic. It just means that Allah will have it in such a way that the believers will recognize it and others won't. And his powers, what will distinguish him as the most severe trial to face human beings from the beginning of the world, the beginning of humankind on earth, is that he will appear after 3 years of worldwide starvation and drought. So when he comes with his powers, people will be in a state of desperation. The Prophet ﷺ said that he will command the sky to withhold 1/3 of its water. Allah will command the sky. And the land to withhold 1/3 of its produce during the first year. In the second year, Allah will command them to hold 2/3. And in the third year, they will withhold everything. This is part of the test, the circumstance which Allah will prepare in the world for the coming of Dajjal. So he will come at the time when the earth is caught up in a state of starvation. And he will call people to believe in him. For those who do, he will command the sky to rain and the earth to bear fruit. And they will. In their areas, for those people who have accepted him as what? As God, not as a messenger of Allah, but as God himself. He will command the sky to rain and the rain will fall. And produce will grow in their land. This is far beyond anything that people like Sai Baba and others are doing. These are acts which people will take as miracles. For those who refuse to accept him, he will leave them. And in the following day, they will find that all, whatever property and wealth that they had, it will be lost. It will be all gone. This is further elements of the test. As he moves about the earth, he will have with him a mountain of bread and a mountain of meat. People are starving. They want this, they need it. But it will only be available to them if they accept him. And he will also have with him what appears to be gardens from paradise. It will accompany him. And flaming pits from hell. Two rivers flowing from what appears to be his paradise and what appears to be his hell. Flowing, one appearing white and cool from the paradise, and the other appearing like molten lava. These will accompany him also. And wherever he goes, he will command the earth. He will give commands to the earth that the treasures of the earth would come out, and they would come as if resurrected from the earth and follow him like bees in a swarm. Furthermore, he will move around from one end of the earth to the other like wind-driven rain. And he will enter every region and every town on earth except for Mecca and Medina. And when he encamps at the salt flats outside of Medina, 3 earthquakes will shake the city, and all of the disbelievers and hypocrites will leave Medina and join him. This is a part of his trials. Among his trials is that he will ask a Bedouin, if I were to resurrect your parents, would you testify that I'm your Lord? And the Bedouin would say, yes. Then 2 from the jinn, from the evil jinn, who are under the control of a Dajjal, will appear in the form of his parents and tell him, follow him, my little son, for he is your Lord. Who would be able to restrain themselves at a time like that? When your own parents appear before you, telling you to follow this man, because he is God. He will appear to be able to give life to the dead by cutting a young man cleanly into 2 halves. Then he'll walk between them, and he will call them to come, and they will join back together, and he will come running to him, laughing with his face beaming. However, he will be confronted by a young believer who will also be cut into 2 halves from the middle of his head right down. The Dajjal will then walk between his halves and tell him to come back to life. However, When he asked the young man to believe in him, the youth would reply, "I've only become more certain that you are false." And then he will call out to the people saying, "Oh people, he won't be able to do this with anyone after me." He will be the last one that he will be able to do that to. Dajjal will then grab him by his neck and try to chop off his head. But a band of copper will come over his neck and Dajjal will not be able to cut it off. So he will grab the boy by the nape of his neck and by his feet, and he will throw him into that river of fire. People will see him fall into the fire and be consumed by it, thinking that, of course, he is burnt up and going to hell. But the Prophet ﷺ said that that river is actually paradise, and his paradise is actually hell. So that young man who is burnt, who appears to be burnt, is actually going on ultimately to paradise. And he said, "Hada a'zamu an-nasi shahadatan 'inda rabbil 'alamin." This young man is the greatest martyr in the sight of the Lord of all the worlds. So these are among the deeds that Dajjal will be able to do. Who would be able to withstand belief in this individual? Who would be able to hold themselves back? Only those who are conscious of Dajjal. They're aware of what he's going to do, what he's going to look like, and all these different things. If they have this knowledge, then he cannot deceive them. But if they have forgotten, then he will be able to. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ had said, Dajjal wouldn't appear until he is forgotten. People have forgotten about him. And in the mosques, on the mimbers, the imams will not talk about him anymore. So this is when he will come. With regards to the place of his appearance, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ went on to tell us, Dajjal will appear from a land in the east called Khurasan, and will be accompanied by people whose faces look like flat beaten iron. Abu Umama, one of the companions, quoted the Prophet ﷺ as saying, "He will appear from a pass between Syria and Iraq and will create havoc left and right. Whenever he confronts Muslims, he will be trying to destroy them and wipe them out. Many of his followers will be from the Jews." The Jews continue to await the return of the Messiah. The Messiah, when he came, who was Isa, the son of Mary, they rejected him, said no, his mother was corrupt. She was a prostitute. She gave a child out of wedlock. And they rejected Jesus and attempted to kill him. So they continue to wait for the Messiah. And there has appeared people in the history, the Jewish history, at different points who claim to be the Messiah. One of the last, most recent ones did so in Turkey. But when the Turkish authorities captured him and put him on trial, he recanted and accepted Islam. So they continue to wait for the coming of their Messiah, who is none other than the Antichrist himself. The Prophet ﷺ had said, as narrated by Anas ibn Malik, 70,000 Jews of Asbahan wearing shawls will follow the Dajjal. And what is the period in which he will reign on the earth? The Prophet ﷺ described that it would be for 40 days. However, the first day of his reign will be as long as a year. That first day of the 40 days will be as long as a year. Then the next day will be as long as a month. And the third day will be as long as a week. And the rest will be like our days. This is how the Prophet ﷺ described it. And when he told his companions about this, that the first day of the reign of Dajjal would be the length of a year, the first thing that the companions asked him was, "What will we do for Salah at that time? How will we make our prayers?" That was what concerned them. This is what was most important, and that really underscores the importance of Salah and how they understood it. So that's what they asked about. And the Prophet ﷺ said to them, calculate it. At that time, you will calculate it, estimate it, and pray accordingly. Of course, in those times, there was no way that they could estimate it. They estimated time by the sundial, as the sun shone on a piece of wood or whatever, and they had a stick in the middle of it. The sun, the length of the shadow would increase to a point where it becomes its longest, and it would decrease and shift over to the other side. And they calculated time around the sundial, and so did the rest of the world. Later on, they developed water clocks, etc., but this is much later. So at that time, 1,400 years ago, estimated, the companions just had to accept that it could be estimated at some time. In our times, of course, it's possible. We have watches like the Asr watch, which will tell you when is the time for Fajr, when is the time for all of the prayers of the day. So it is possible to estimate the times for prayers continually over a year, even if we had 1 year of sunshine. And actually, that principle of the Prophet's explanation provides for people who live in the northernmost part of the earth, where they have 6 months of day and 6 months of night. The closer you get to the Arctic Circle, the longer the days and the nights become, till they reach a point where you have 6 months of sunshine and 6 months of darkness. How do people pray there? They have to estimate it. They go according to the time of the nearest town south of them that has a daily sunrise and sunset, or they can choose the time in Mecca and just go by that. So the Prophet's explanation for the time of Dajjal provides, from Islamic law, an explanation for what Muslims would do when they're in a time or a place where the sun shines continually. Similarly, Muslim astronauts who have gone in the space shuttles around the earth, who have prayed their 5 times daily prayers, how did they do it? They did it by calculating. At any rate, he will create a fitna over the earth, and people will fall into his trials. Many people will accept it. But as we mentioned, there will be some who will be aware, will be conscious, and will reject. And he will be defeated. He will not be so powerful as to live out his life in a natural way. What will happen is that he will continue to fight the Muslim forces until he surrounds them in Jerusalem. And at that time, they will be led by the Mahdi. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had predicted that the Mahdi would come. He would take Bay'ah at the Yemeni corner of the Kaaba. Armies will be sent to defeat him from among Muslims, thinking that he is false. But Allah will cause the earth to break open, and they will be swallowed up. And he will lead the struggle against Dajjal. However, he will not be able to defeat Dajjal. And he will become barricaded. He will have to barricade himself in Jerusalem with the Muslim forces. At that time, Prophet Isa will return, the time of the second coming of Christ. And he will join the Mahdi. Mahdi will lead the Muslims in prayer. Actually, the Mahdi will want to step back, and Isa will stop him and have him lead the prayer. Then Prophet Isa, Jesus, will tell them to open the gate of Jerusalem. And they will open it while Dajjal and his forces are attacking. He will be followed by 70,000 Jews wearing ornamented swords and sheaths. When Dajjal looks at Prophet Isa, Prophet Jesus, he will turn and run, because he'll know at that point who he is and that he is the one who will kill him. He will start to dissolve, as the Prophet ﷺ described. And as he runs, he falls, dissolving Prophet Isa will catch a hold of him in the eastern gate of an area called Lud, and there he will kill him. And he will raise his sword that he kills him with, and the people will see blood on it. Actually, not a sword, but a spear. And at that point, all of his forces will be defeated, and they will be hunted down. That will be the end of Masih ad-Dajjal. The question is, will we be ready for him? What did the Prophet ﷺ offer as a means of preparing for his coming? First and foremost, one has to cling on firmly to the teachings of Islam, because ignorance of its teachings will mean that one will not be able to resist the temptations of following ad-Dajjal. Secondly, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended that we memorize the first 10 verses or the last 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf. And this chapter talks about the signs of Allah in the stories of that chapter, that every Muslim should memorize these verses. And the recitation of Surah Al-Kahf on Friday is highly recommended. Also, by utilizing the supplications which Prophet Muhammad ﷺ gave us in our daily prayer, seeking refuge with Allah, because ultimately it is Allah who is going to protect us. Human beings will not be able or capable of protecting us. Frequent remembrance of Allah will further protect us. Furthermore, we should flee from him. People shouldn't feel bold and think they can take him on. They should flee from him. If you're able to stay in Medina or Mecca at that time, then these are safe areas, which, as the Prophet ﷺ described, he would not be able to enter. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever hears about Dajjal should go far away from him. For by Allah, a man will come to him believing that he is himself a true believer and end up following him due to the doubts that he created in his mind. So, the best policy is to avoid him, to run from him, to flee from him, and to find refuge elsewhere. So, back to the beginning, as the Prophet ﷺ said, there is no trial from the time of Adam's creation until the last hour greater than ad-Dajjal. Muslims need to know about him. Their children need to be taught about him, instead of Harry Potter and Hogwarts and all this other foolishness, where Muslim kids know this in detail and they have no idea about Dajjal. This is the challenge for us, to revive this information. Imams in the masjids should remind people from time to time about Dajjal, because he won't come until he is forgotten. With that, I'd like to close now, hoping that this information would have revived knowledge about Dajjal amongst you, dear viewers, and that you would share this knowledge with others and help them to come to this realization and to spread knowledge in their families and their children, so that he will not be able to have the kind of impact that is described in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With that, I'd like to close asking Allah to protect each and every one of us from this terrible trial to come. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.